Good morning. I would like to invite you to kneel with me as we go to the throne of the Almighty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day, this day of rest where we can forget about all our trials and tribulations, our jobs, our troubles. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the reading of the Word. We thank you for the changing of the showbread. We thank you for creating everything and in creating us. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us. Father, we pray that you bless us in a major way today with the reading of the Word. Cut our hearts with understanding and bless us with an opportunity to share with others what we learned today. And for those loved ones that couldn't be here, we pray you bless them in a way that they need to be blessed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read this little right here in the church bulletin. We got Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Those of you on Pell Talk, you might want to go to Ezekiel chapter 12. But most of us just have the bulletin handy. It kind of touches with what I'm going to share today. It's on the front page of the bulletin. Ezekiel 12, verses 2 and 3. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare these stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. A lot of us have come from other churches and have not. Some people that we know of have left other churches and have not removed their membership, or just in case. Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, or Sapphira, not giving up everything, just in case this way is wrong. But it states here in the scriptures that when you are in a rebellious house, to get out and to make it known to the people in the house that you get out. But today's message, it touches on this in a way as well. Because a lot of us here have come from other houses or churches, but some of our loved ones are still in them. And on Pal Talk, there's plenty of them that are coming into the room that are still in other houses that are rebellious. The main thing I wanted to try and share today, I've been wrestling with this all week about this message. I just back and forth with it. Is the importance of prophecy. It is so important for us to understand prophecy. I want to try and stress this point today if we can. Because some people, I'm not saying anybody here, but there are some people that we know, that we love, that they don't believe that we're living in the last days. They just don't believe it. You can tell. I remember when I was a little kid seeing that guy on the street corner, and my daddy's holding my hand, and I'm way down here, and I go, Daddy, why has that man got that sign on his chest saying the end of the world is nigh, and why is he yelling and screaming? So I don't listen to him. They've been preaching that ever since I was a kid. And I just figured, well, then that shows a merciful God. He's given us plenty of time to get right, just like with Noah out there banging on that ark for 120 years. So, are we living in the last days? Are we really, or is just, are we just kind of like getting scared or paranoid because of everything that's going on around us? Are there prophecies that kind of like coincide with what's happening right now? Pastor Joe shared some a month ago, I think it was, in regards to some of the major ones that started the end times. And then there are some prophecies that even go further from there that talk up, and you touched on those as well, I remember that. But I want to go a little bit, show some articles in regards to these prophecies too. I'm not taking away from anything that you did, of course, but I just want to show some of the articles that I found in regards to this. Like the scripture reading for today, with Matthew 24, verses 15 and 16, it says this. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. The key here is, whoso readeth, let him understand. I'm going to read a short little article from Eusebius' Church History, Book 3, Chapter 5. It says this. It's actually out of the... It actually had a subtitle, I think. It says, The Attack of the Roman Warrior Titus Occurred in 70 A.D., Killing Him. It's a subtitle. But here, it says, In A.D. 66, when Cestius came against the city, and that city is Jerusalem, but unaccountably withdrew, the Christians discerned in this the sign foretold by Christ and fled, while 1,100,000 Jews are said to have been killed in the terrible siege in A.D. 70. He came back. What, 3.5 years later? He came back and he killed them. Those that understood, those that studied the prophecies, those that were Christians, understood what Jesus said 40 years prior. He also even goes so far later on in these verses to say, you better pray it doesn't happen in the winter or on Sabbath day, which also confirms New Testament Christians, after the ascension of Christ, will be keeping Sabbath. Seventh day Sabbath. So, but anyway... My point is this. The prophecy is important. You can see it plainly here, is because the Christians that did understand the prophecies did understand what they were looking at when Cestius surrounded the city. They saw the abomination of desolation surrounding the city. They fled into the mountains. They did exactly what Jesus said to do. They were safe and sound. Not a problem, except for everyday life. But those that did not believe in the prophecies, just like a lot of people today don't believe in some of the prophecies that are happening now, they're not ready. Just like those Jews, they weren't ready for what happened 3.5 years later. He came back, 1,100,000 Jews died. And it took 3.5 years. Some of the Christians could have been like those people at the Mount Sinai when Moses went up, 40 days, he's gone, he's dead. They're all thinking, why bother? So they could have thought, 3.5 years, we're out here in the woods or in the mountains, nothing's happening to the city. Also kind of reminds me of Jonah after he got done preaching. I went through all this, the whale, the whole nine yards, and nothing's happening to him. So, but you got to trust the Almighty. That's the main thing. So what does Jesus say we must do today? Besides the three angels' message, what is the blunt reality of today? Is it not the same message that's the spirit of Elijah that was given John the Baptist? I mean, Matthew 3:3 says, For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I gotta figure a place to put these things. The Christians of this world need to get ready. Jesus is coming back, and just like the people in Noah's day, they didn't believe it was going to rain, and now we have absolute scientific evidence there was a global flood, so whether or not they believe, it's not going to stop the Lord from coming back. He's coming. In Matthew 24, Jesus gave them one sign, and the believers believed it and got out of there. Today, how many have we had? We've had sign after sign after sign. They did as Jesus said to do. What are we doing? Are we doing what Jesus said to do in these last days? Now, I'm going to share a few of these prophecies, and you tell me if you see them in today's world. James chapter 5, verses 4 and 8 says, Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. After the Civil War, coal miners started a brand new thing. Strikes. They were called strikes. The first one was, I believe, was like 1892. I think it was like 1892. But the one that I was mostly concerned with was one in 1894, the Pullman Auto Plant, or the Pullman Car Company. They were so violent, people were dying, it was getting so bad that Grover Cleveland sent in the army. Which is also against our Constitution, but he did it anyway to stop the strikes. The hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. Pay the workman worthy of his wage. And if you don't, there's going to be strikes. There's going to be these problems. This is part of the prophecies. We see this in today's life. Now, all these prophecies I'm going to share, we've all seen them. We've all seen these things happening in our lifetime, but I think it bears repeating because it'll get us, if you put them all in one big lump, you'll see we are in the very last hour of the birth history. We all remember the 60s and 70s, except for, of course, you shorter humans here, because there was strike after strike after strike. I remember, like, the teachers, they still do that. Every other year you have a teacher strike and the kids miss some school, because they really don't care about the kids. It's the money they're concerned with, most of them anyway. Some of them do care. Because I know a lot of teachers that are really genuine. I got some friends that are teachers to this day. In fact, Marilyn is a teacher on Pell Talk. Or she used to be. I don't know if she still is. But and then the strikes went. Was mostly like municipality type guys, public workers and stuff like that. You saw the strikes. But go on the encyclopedia. You'll be amazed at what kind of information you get about strikes in there. The next thing. Matthew 24 again, verses 6 and 7. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be, now these things you've heard and have seen, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. We know about the famines. What was it, that article you sent me a couple of months ago?
There's one in North Korea. Africa
is
facing a huge famine right now.
Yeah, and it's like Ethiopia last, well, Ethiopia has been the topic, you know, for years, but it's something like 1.1 million people are figuring will die this year of starvation in just Ethiopia. That's insane. Especially when you got like the United States of America with all the money that this company, this corporation has. And then you got the Pope with all his money. But, and the pestilences, we know about this. I mean, West Nile virus. The other day I'm outside, you know, praying, and I'm hearing a mosquito. And it's the first time I ever got a little bit of fear from a mosquito. So I'm thinking West Nile virus or AIDS virus, whatever. But I trust the Almighty. He's not going to allow his child to get, you know, because, you know, you keep the law. We were just discussing that today, in fact, in the adult Bible study. And then, of course, the earthquakes. We know about that. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to share something that I got out of the Time magazine. World War II. To give you an idea, how many wars were enacted in World War II between the dates July 28, 1914 to December 7, 1917? A little over 3 years, isn't that? I think that is. Maybe about 3 years. A little less. Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia. Germany declared war on Russia. Germany declared war on France. Britain on Germany. France on Austria-Hungary. Britain on Austria-Hungary. Italy on Austria. Bulgaria on Serbia. Italy on Bulgaria. Germany on Portugal. Italy on Germany. Romania on Austria-Hungary. Germany on Romania. Turkey on Romania. Bulgaria on Romania. Greece on Germany and Bulgaria. The United States of America on Germany. That was on April 6, 1917. That's more or less when you really tell it was going to end. And then the United States and Austria and Hungary. Hungary? I don't know. But more money. Listen to what Mark Finley said in his Discoveries and Prophecy. He's got these videotapes out. He says, more money has been spent today on armaments and defense than ever before in the history of the world. He said that in 1995. I did some research, and I found in 1990, the United States alone spent, just on bombs, grenades, and stuff like that, $312.9 billion. In 1 year. And the world spent $1.1 trillion. And this is before Desert Storm. This is before Afghanistan. And this is 12 years ago. And you know how inflation, everything goes up from there. And this leads directly into the next prophecy that a lot of us have seen with our own eyes. Oh, by the way, I misplaced some of this research that I also had, because I look everywhere. And it's not even on my website. I'm amazed at this, because I thought I had it on the site. In 1990, there was something like 112 conflicts, they called it, worldwide. And it's a lot worse now. 112 wars, because there's a lot of little teeny countries and stuff. They don't much care for each other. But anyway, this all leads into the next prophecy. Luke 21, verses 25 and 26. Says the distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at those things which are coming on the earth. Why do you think the nations are fearful? Besides the fact that you got all the wars. But two small little articles. U.S. News and World Report, they're both from the same magazine. It says, on March 16, 1992 issue, it said, they reported that three nuclear weapons from Azerbaijan, the Muslim state of the Soviet Union, had disappeared. They're gone. They can't find them. Russian nuclear scientists had shown up in Tehran, and those three missing nuclear weapons had actually been sold to the cash-starved Soviets, by the cash-starved Soviets to Iran. We knew what was going on. Remember what was going on in Russia in 92? They couldn't feed their own people. There was bread lines for like a mile, I would think, in each place where they had the food. They figured out a way to get some money. You can sell these things to these sheiks and stuff. These guys get way too much money. They, you know, it's just, they're on the oil guys. Selling it to them, three of them. And then, a couple of months later, U.S. News and World Report says, covering a meeting at NATO leaders, reported that three more nuclear warheads were found missing. Plus, the United States of America has these backpack nuclear warheads. They're missing now. There were six of them. Problem with those is those batteries don't last. Those batteries, as of right now, if somebody does have them, can't be used. But they can figure out how to MacGyver the batteries, I'm sure. And the backpack nuclear warhead is enough to, like, if you walk into the Chicago area and lit it, everything in the loop is gone. It's a small nuclear warhead, but it's, you know. So, add this to the Twin Towers. Add this to the biological weapons. Add this to the some people's fear of nuclear war. And what do you get? You get all these people out there with the distress, this perplexity, the fear, their, you know, or the fact that, like what would happen in the article you sent about Rome, the water, that one lake. Every fish in the lake is dead, and these eels are coming out of the water committing suicide on the banks. And they can't figure out what's wrong with the water. And you see this, and you're driving down the road. What if a drunk driver comes across the double yellow line when you're going to the corner market? You get to the corner market. What if, I mean, you got all these fears. What if the guy at the corner market is selling me Tylenol that's got poison in it? Or what if somebody comes into the corner market and wants to kill the guy because he doesn't have enough money for Christmas gifts? Because that actually happened. There was an article about that. One guy in Oak Lawn, that he robbed a guy and killed him because he didn't have enough money to get his kids toys for Christmas. And then you hear statements like this from so-called scholars, University Scholar of Cambridge University, C.E.M. Joad. That's all I get is C.E.M. Joad. The guy doesn't even say his whole name. It says, he goes, there has never been a weapon that is made that was never used. You add that onto everything. And people that aren't Christians, that don't want to look for Jesus Christ to get rid of this fear, what do they go for? Prozac. And then with the Prozac, you have no ability to understand the scriptures or even understand the signs all around you anyway. It's insane. Now, am I saying the world's going to end with nuclear war? No. It's not what the scriptures say. Revelation 11:18 says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name. Small and great, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them that destroy the earth. So notice the nations are angry, and then his wrath comes. They're angry now. They're angry at each other. This thing with the UN, it's just, please, you know, it's just a joke. They're not really doing anything to try to do world peace. It's more or less the mark of the beast. We understand that as Christians and who understand prophecy, we know what that's all about. But everybody else is trying to say, oh, it's the world peace. Why? Because the devil has created so much world havoc, he figures, you know, that's his way to get the mark of the beast in. Plus, you got domestic fears. You can add on top of all these other fears. What if your house burns down, or you in it with a forest fire, or a flood, earthquakes, tornado, earthquakes, by the way. It was 21 earthquakes in 1,370 years when they were recording earthquakes. But from 1906 to 1990, I think that's what I got, 1990, there were 21 earthquakes that killed more than 10,000 people each. The earthquakes have gone like exponentially. They've just, another sign of the end. And I deleted a lot of the earthquakes, by the way. They had 9,000 deaths and less, because I just wanted to keep in tune with what they had in research for 10,000. If there was 10,000 or more dead, they would put it on the list. And in 1,370 years, you only had 21 earthquakes. We've had 21 earthquakes in 84 years, and that's not counting the 1995 when they had 30,000 earthquakes in 1 month in Japan. They were having this problem. It was like 30,000. It was like 3,000 a day or something. I think it was like that. Or 4,000 a day? I think it was something like that. But and to show you the kind of fear, before I became a Christian on March 24th, I was looking for ways to get rid of the fear that I had in my heart. You know, not knowing I'm one of the elect, not knowing I'm going to become one of, you know, a child of God and a Christian. I'm running around scared all the time, but I never let anybody know because you got to, you know, play cool. And so I always had that paranoia in me. I'm serious. I used to have, you looking at, you know, I always have that fear in me. And so I would put on and I would overcompensate for it, and that's why a lot of people thought I was a con or something, because I had no problem just jumping up and trying to talk to people because I don't want them to know I was scared. And then when I found Christ, I realized what I was looking for to fill that gap. I realized what I needed to get rid of that fear. It was the perfect peace of Christ. And it worked perfectly. But for those that don't have them, there's other fears that they got to deal with. You got hurricanes, you got AIDS, you got flesh-eating bacteria, you got all these strange new diseases. They can't even name half of them now. The return of the bubonic and the black plague last year. Plus, they're using smallpox as a weapon now. They're thinking of vaccinating everybody. Gee, I wonder what they're going to put in that vaccine. E. coli last week, 19 million tons, was that? Of beef? Recalled last week. 19 million tons? Is that what it was? 19 million? Man, how many? That's for a country. 19 million tons. That's what they know of. Yeah, that's what they caught that had the E. coli virus in it. I mean, think about that. You're sitting there eating your hamburger and you got a sense of fear. You know, am I going to be dead by the time we get done with this thing? Stock market crashing? As a matter of fact, I was they were saying stuff that they're on uncharted territory now, because everything that they did in the 29 crash, we've done already to try and prevent it. James chapter 5. It says that we're going to have a financial disaster. Is your child safe at school? Parents fear this. The kids fear this. Now, when you go to school, the bully is no longer the big kid now. The bully can be the little runt because he's got a gun. Yeah, or a machine. He come in and kill all the kids in class. Or will they introduce you to drugs? Will your kids or would your kids get molested by the priest or one of the teachers? Or will the kids get introduced to Satanism ever so nicely by using rock and roll? I mean, they're not even safe at church with the priests and stuff. And your child gets molested by a priest, and you try to do everything you can to try to correct this problem with your child and to report the priest and try to get him in trouble, and then the Catholic Church sues you because you allowed your son to get molested by their priest. That is one legal strategy they're trying in Minnesota, I believe. 100 years ago, man, even 50 years ago, you didn't hear this stuff. You didn't hear this kind of stuff. Or like with the way the kids dress and stuff, too. But we're getting into that now. We're watching the video tapes about the dress. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's plainly prophesied. In the last days, perilous times shall come. The next prophecy, though, that we've all seen in our own lifetime is Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. First and foremost, we now understand the prophecies. But for me to get into this would take a couple, 3 hours. Do you mind? But that, I don't want to get into that right now, but we understand it as the first and foremost understanding of Daniel 12:4 is we understand Daniel. Now we can mash him up with Revelation, and Revelation even gives us even more information. Revelation was never sealed, but now we understand it even better. But I'm talking about the regular knowledge has been increased. I like these. I guess this is out of the encyclopedia, but it's actually Norman Cousins, Modern Man is Obsolete. Listen to these. It says, a wheel turned no faster in Hannibal's time than it did in George Washington. It took just as long to cultivate a wheat field in Egypt in 5000 B.C. as it did anywhere at the turn of the 19th century. The speed of technological change was almost as slow as life itself. then, suddenly, with the utilization of steam and electricity, which was 1884 for steam, 1879 for electricity, more changes were made in technology in two generations than all of the 1,000 years of previous human history put together. Think about that. When did the 2300-year prophecy end? When did the end times begin? 1844. When was electricity invented? 1879. When was the steam turbine invented? 1884. Then you got photography. I mean, I got a whole list of these, but I'm just going to show you the ones that we all know about. That some of these, I mean, what the heck is linotype? I have no idea. Linotype? I think that's typewriter kind of thing. Well, you know, it's the printing press kind of thing. That was in 1885. Then you got the automobile, 1892. You got x-ray, photography, anesthesia. Anesthesia, before 1846, you had some screaming surgeries going on, I imagine, right? We got to cut your leg off, you know? Just, oh. The first airplane piloted, I guess this is by the Wright brothers, 1903. That we know of, yeah. 1864, typewriter. Telephone, penicillin, atomic bomb, jet turbines, television broadcasting, ramjet airplanes, color television, MRIs, Skylab, recombinant DNA, that's genetic engineering. I mean, they're doing that now with the crops, which, by the way, we saw a strange cornfield on the way to church today. You know, you got the tassels that come up above the corn. Well, these tassels in this whole field were going way up further, top of the corn, and then they had like a fan approach to them. I've never seen a cornfield like that in my life. Usually the tassels are kind of like almost at level with the green leaves, but these things were a good 6-7 inches above them. You got the Jarvik artificial heart, laser technology, holograph technology, man landing on the moon, if that really happened. But you don't really remember that. There's that website out there where the guy's got a Coke bottle or something. I don't doubt that they landed on the moon. I could see it happening. You got the helicopter, Russian space station, the Harrier, this thing here. I saw this with my own eyes. When I was working in the loop for my dad, one day I decided to take lunch by Lake Michigan because it was 2 blocks away. I just had to cross a couple of streets and walk across this big old field to get to Lake Michigan because they were having an air show. And they had on their posters all over, and they even painted the streets. Like when they would advertise something in Chicago, because there's literally millions of people walking all over the streets, they'll paint these squares on the street when you get to every corner with advertising on it, you know? And they had this air show coming, and something was surprised, right? So we're all sitting there watching the air show, these jets going by, and I don't know if you've ever seen a jet close up breaking the sound barrier. I've got it on video. Right before he breaks the sound barrier, there's like a cone, like a frisbee made out of cloud, right in front of him, traveling with him, and then all of a sudden he breaks the sound barrier, he goes through it, and it's gone. The weirdest thing, I've got a video that I think it's on your computer, Nick. I didn't put it on my computer. But all of a sudden we're watching this. I'm out there having my lunch, and all of a sudden this big old, I mean, he's bigger than most jet fighters. He's flying all, they used this in Vietnam, I didn't even know this. Because it was invented in 1948, but nobody knew about it until this air show. And he's flying around, and he stops in midair. The Harrier aircraft. He stopped in midair and floated above the water. It was the loudest thing I ever heard in my life, too. But the nozzles on the jet point any direction he wants. And so he pointed them down, and the thing floated. Then he slowly took off and left. And the crowd went nuts. But this is the kind of technology we have today. Yeah, that we know of, exactly. Yeah, the cloning, yeah. You got Dolly, that sheep, and the first human was just by when, September? December, yeah. Jesus is coming back. They're not going to allow this. This is Hitler's dream. You remember Hitler's dream? The perfect race. This is what they're trying to do. And where did Hitler get all of his ideas? Roman Catholic Church. He even got the swastika off the walls in the Vatican. It's on the walls, the swastika. It's been there since Michelangelo, who, by the way, was gay. I don't know if you know that. Michelangelo was gay. He was doing the Sistine Chapel for one of his priest friends. But this is research that I found a couple of years ago. I haven't put it on the site yet because lazy. But anyway, the next prophecy, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, there shall come in the last days scoffers. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, they shall not endure sound doctrine. They shall be turned on to fables. A poll was taken in the Pittsburgh Press, 1977. I remember this as a teenager watching it or reading it in, I think it was in Omni magazine they put it in. They revealed that only 2% of American student ministers at that time believed in the second coming of Christ. 2%. That means 98% of the pastors today don't believe Jesus is coming back. They just don't. That's why you're getting all these weird, you know, religions and these people that, you know, don't believe. But they're designed not to believe. They have to get the mark of the beast in the forehead. That's just what the devil's been planning. So, and you get stuff like the Times, April 24th, 1998. Headline, Pope John Paul II assures Italian the end is not yet nigh. To the dismay of Seventh-day Adventists, he says, thank you, John Paul, but literally, it says in the article, to the dismay of Seventh-day Adventists, but the relief of everyone else, the Pope has declared that the world is not about to end. Now, I know. So it's gospel, you know. Yeah, so that makes it so. Did you see when he went to Toronto, wasn't it? Or, yeah, he was in Toronto just... That's such another amazing thing. He's in Toronto now. Did you see the videos of the teenagers coming up, like, collapsing in his presence, crying, and just like... And then you sent me the article where he's actually calling them God. He says, you are now God. He's calling the children God because they have God in them. You are God. Anyway, as for doctrine, now we got scoffers. What about doctrine? Headline, couple suicide means $10 million for charity. They were taking the high road to death, said their former pastor, Charles Huser. Their will specified their money to go to the United Church of Christ organizations. That was December 1994, Southtown Economist. Could you imagine? This is their pastor. A husband and wife in their 80s, millionaires. They had pictures of everything in the newspaper. They committed suicide together and had all their money go to the church. And because this pastor just received all this money, he goes, they were taking the high road to death. In other words, breaking the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, more or less, putting it in layman's terms. They commit self-murder, and he's saying they did a good thing. Because I got all this money now. But he didn't say that part, of course. He just... Next headline, Bernardine and the Jews. Cardinal Bernardine, his lecture at the Hebrew University in regards to statements he made to the verse, John chapter 8, verse 44, where Jesus called the Jews liars and of their father the devil. Bernardine says this, these statements can no longer be taught as authentic doctrine or used as catechists on contemporary Christianity and can no longer be regarded as definitive teaching. Christians no longer may believe that the words that the Jews are the children of the devil are words that Jesus said or actually said or are the revealed word of God. And Father Andrew M. Greeley, Roman Catholic priest who writes this article in the Southtown Economist, is the one that commented on it, and he didn't even agree with him. And of course, a few months later, Cardinal Bernardine was dead. I don't know if it was because of what the scripture says about you take away or add to, these plagues of revelation will be upon you. So, in other words, he's saying that Jesus Christ was lying when he called them liars. And this was a Roman Catholic cardinal. Then Pope John Paul II says a couple of years later, or 1 year later, that on every newspaper on the planet and every TV channel that you can find, on October 24th, 1996, he says that evolution is scientifically accurate. Then, now I'm going back in time. January 30th, 1994, Presbyterian Church backs Jack Kevorkian. Channel 257 and 9. We lived in the Chicago area at that time. That's where I got it here, Chicago Television. But think about it. Jack's the dripper, because he literally is. Think about it. That's what he uses, the dripping thing to kill you. He's killing dozens and dozens of people, and this church says it's... And thanks to this, we've got Oregon, where you can legally go someplace now in the United States of America if you want to die. If you want to die, and you can legally do it. Some more sound doctrine that they're not adhering to. Teach them to give up hope. Teach them there is no God, and he can't even help you even if there was. Headline, small town mourned 10-year-old death. This child was murdered, by the way. She was kidnapped. This is in our area, Payless area. The Reverend Richard White, a United Methodist pastor, said, there may be even things God can't control. Give up then. Why be a Christian? Maybe Buddha can handle this, you know? You know, one, that's no wonder people are killing themselves left and right, all over the place. Next prophecy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, says this: Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Tell me if that doesn't sound like today. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We know what that means. The homosexuals, gay or lesbian, you know, I mean, homosexual. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Well, you start preaching truth on the internet or on the street, they'll despise you. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Headline. Bible group gets to the naked truth. Living up to the Genesis verse, naked and not ashamed Christian nudists are planning a weekend retreat of hot tubbing and karaoke and reading Bibles in the buff. Jerry Love, a Methodist, is his last name, Love, and his wife, Carol, a Baptist, has already booked 60 reservations around the country. That's from 1996, Danville Commercial News. Before Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis chapter 2, they said they were not ashamed, right? Genesis chapter 3, they sinned. Now they're sick. Now they're. So are these people before sin had come? This is, I mean, naked and not ashamed. In other words, they're telling us what the scriptures say doesn't apply to them. Obviously, because maybe they haven't received the Catholic original sin or something. I don't know. But it's just, and on top of all the immorality and decline of spirituality, you have the children being molested by the priests. And this last comment in regards to this prophecy. In the United Nations meeting, the first global meeting that they had that was structured to be global, was on January 1st, 1993. Before starting the meeting, they had what I would consider prayer, because the devil's ministry is music. All right? And I heard someone talking about how prayer is used in a musical, sometimes in a musical way. I can't remember some preacher was talking about it anyway. John Lennon's song Imagine was piped in to start the global meeting. The song Imagine by John Lennon. In that song, he says, no God above us, no hell below us. That's what he preaches, you know? And the reason I brought this up is because who has a chair in the United Nations? The Pope. Pope John Paul II. He is there to represent all the religions of the world. He did not protest that song. He did not stand up and say, turn that song off. As a matter of fact, he has Aerosmith, Britney Spears, and all these other singers now helping them to move towards the children with these new CDs they're putting out in the Vatican. Unbelievable. Plus, the United Nations also states that Article 28 states if you spank your children, you can be jailed. If you spank your children. This is the same United Nations that pushes pedophilia and the child sex books for seven-year-olds. Next prophecy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 to 4 says, in the last days men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Headline, Dad pushes child at train for his wife. This is in Cairo, Egypt, Associated Press states, a 7-year-old boy emerged from a coma Saturday after he lost both his legs when his father pushed him underneath a moving train to please his second wife. The end of the article states, when they asked him why he did it, he goes, his 23-year-old second wife could not live with the son. Well, then have him go live with his mother. Don't throw him in front of a train. A craving for pleasure. This is not his wife. This is his plaything. This is all he's concerned with. It's his body. Same thing goes with the drugs, the sex, the rock and roll. Everything in today's world is geared towards pleasure. I remember in the 70s, if it feels good, do it. Remember that? And the churches are empty on their Roman Sabbath and even on our Sabbath, and the resorts are packed. And just to show you a kind of like a ironic situation, on the Roman Sabbath, on a Sunday a couple of years ago, a cruise ship lost control and rammed the resort and killed a whole bunch of people on their Sabbath. Next prophecy. There will be no regard for bloody for law, for bloody crimes, and violence will increase throughout the streets. Matthew 24:12 says, and because iniquity shall abound. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Ezekiel 7:23 says, the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. This happened in our neighborhood, Palos Heights, when we used to live out there. Headline, daughter testifies, slain mother begs for her life. Kelly Doyle testified she was awakened by a loud noise, which prosecutors believe was Sheila Doyle's car lurching forward and striking a red children's wagon that struck the garage wall. As Tyler, her killer, struggled to get her out of the car that night, she heard her mother say, please don't hurt me. She got up and walked into the family room again and again heard the mother saying, please don't hurt me, and then heard the car door slam. The little girl said, I heard the man say in an ordering sound something about a car. I heard my mother scream, and then I heard a big bang. Prosecutor said the second slamming of the door was the sound of Tyler closing the car's trunk on Doyle when he allegedly forced her into the trunk in order to remain quiet, but shot her in the head because she screamed. Kelly, the daughter, said later that she went back to her room and put her headset back on and laid back down and go to sleep. Short time later, her husband gets up. A couple hours later, rather, the husband is up looking for his wife. He can't find her, and the little girl realizes this. Her dad's up calling the police because his wife is missing. The thing that gets me here is the little kid is hearing his mother or her mother getting murdered, and she goes back upstairs and listens to her rock and roll and lays back down. The love of many shall grow cold in these last days. Here's another thing to add to the fear. Last year, Bogota reported on an average of 4 cases of poisoning by Burundanga. I knew I was going to have a problem with this word. Burundanga. A drug with side effects that include hallucinations, memory loss, and loss of will. What they do, in the article it talks about this, they give you this drug, and it usually happens in bars. So, of course, a Christian's not going to beat us, so the Christian doesn't have to worry about this. Plus, what do you do before you eat or drink? You give thanks. What does the scriptures say? No poisons will come, you know, harm you. So how can you protect yourself against an attack like this if you're not a Christian? You're just stupid. Today's world, if you're not a Christian, you're just plain stupid, for lack of a better word, because of the way the world is. They put this in your drink, and it's like hypnotic. These criminals put this in a couple's drink, and then told them to go, and they did everything they said, to go and empty these cash machines, cash stations, and when the drug wears off, they don't remember anything. And they've been using this in all over the world. It's also been like altered a little bit to now it's called a date rape drug, where you can actually do anything, the girl will do anything you want, or the guy. And a Roman Catholic priest was just arrested for manufacturing it. The date rape drug. Because they can use it on children, too. I mean, how can you defend from an attack like that? You can't. I mean, and plus, how do you defend from an attack like you're just standing on the street corner and some drive-by happens because you don't like the guy that happens to be walking near you? Or, you're in Israel, and some guy decides to blow himself up. You know? They're telling children to do this. What are they telling the children? Oh, this is just a test. It's not really going to blow up or something. Well, I don't know what they're telling the little kids to actually get them to do this now, but they're getting kids to do it. And how do you handle, like, with the drug wars or the mass murders? I mean, life in general. Plus, next prophecy. And there's one last one, but that last one we are so aware of. It's, you know, pretty amazing. Matthew 24:11 says, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then you've got Matthew 24, of course, where Jesus is talking about false Christ and false prophets showing great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And how many of us have heard this? That the elect can be deceived. They always forget about that word, if it were possible. They always do that. And then you got Revelation 16, of course, verse 14, where it says, for they are spirits of devils working miracles. What comes to mind right off the bat? Our Lady of Fatima, Medjugorje, Garibaldi, Hillside, New York, all after 1844. 1917 is when Fatima happened. All. And if you notice, Our Lady of Fatima demon floating there acting like Mary from heaven did not appear to adults or theologians. It appeared to children. Because children don't understand scriptures as well as an adult would. So, because the Bible says, try the spirits to see if they are of God. These kids didn't do that because they didn't know how to. Plus, I remember this. I saw this with my own peepers. Saw this on TV a couple of years ago. And they made comments about it. Well, here, let me read this. Televised news broadcasts on all channels across the nation reported and filmed stone carvings of Hindu religious icons actually drinking milk from spoons placed under the nose of the stone image. You never saw that? My goodness, I thought everybody saw this. You know the Hindu, that one Hindu goddess or whatever, it's a woman's face with this weird crown on it, she got an elephant nose. That's mostly the one, and then they also just have elephants. But it's a stone image. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it. They took a tablespoonful of milk and put it right by the nose and it sucked it right up. On TV, I saw it on every channel, on CNN and everything. And they even made jokes about it later on because on Bart Simpson, the guy, that Iranian guy that does the you know, what is it? The convenience store, yeah. He's getting robbed and he drops down because the guy's shooting at him and he drops down and his icon, his false god, falls down next to him and he grabs him and he goes, "You get me out of this, I give you Yahoo." You know, so that's chocolate milk. It's a little better. So they even use it and showed everybody in the cartoons that it was real. They're even telling the kids that this is real. This guy does help you. Look, he's going to give them Yahoo chocolate milk. Plus, I saw this as well on the news. Allah is God written in the clouds. Now, that scared me. Because when I was watching on Channel 11 in the Chicago area, they had all these Muslims bowing. You know how they do that on the carpet? There must have been 10,000 of them out there in this desert, this big field. And the cameraman is like talking in Arabic, and it was like a 2020 kind of a thing or set up where they're saying they're talking for the guy. And they're explaining why he's panning the area, and they also explain why he starts taking the camera and pointing it to the sky. And you see in Arabic, Allah is God. Now, I don't know how Arabic is, but it did look like that Arabic writing in the clouds. Now, whether some airplane did it or not, who knows? Now you got John Edwards. We all know about the crossing over. This guy is uncannily accurate, right? Why? Because he communicates with the demons that were at the sides of those people that died. You never heard of John Edwards crossing over? He's the guy that has this television, he's a spiritualist, television psychic program. Yeah, channeler or, well not, yeah, I guess he's a channeler because he's listening to all their, he's a medium. Okay, and he sits on this like, occultic symbol. He stands on this big stage with this round occultic symbol and he walks on it. And he has this gallery of people that he sits there and he goes, "Is anybody here named so?" You know, he just starts playing the crowd and he's telling them things that happened to their loved ones in their lifetime that only they knew, and they're all crying and all realizing this is accurate because the demons know exactly what those people went through in their lives. Oh yeah, every day, primetime TV, 4 o'clock in our area. Yeah, they watch them and you'll believe it, hook, line, and sinker. Crossing over. It's on channel, well, either 15 or 27. That's all we get. So it's either 15 or 27 in either Danville or Champaign channels. But, yeah, it's on every week. I mean, every day. You got Miss Cleo. Praise the Lord, she's been fired or something because she's not been around. Remember the telemarketing? She used to do that. Oh, man, she used to call you up. A Maitreya. This guy is showing up as Jesus Christ or Buddha or Allah or anybody you want. He's just showing up and he's popping up in front of people. He'll stand there and all of a sudden he'll wave his arms and it'll be this big feast of food for you. This guy is definitely an end time false prophet, demon possessed, or maybe he's just a demon in flesh form. Who knows? This guy is way strange. And he's got a permanent room on Pell Talk in the religious section. Did you know that? You go in there and you cannot speak or type. Everybody in the room is red dotted. And you have to listen to what he speaks. And it's kind of like they got the microphone 10 feet away from the guy, and you can't really understand what, and he's speaking English. You can hardly hear him. How about that magician? What's that guy? Kind of looks like you, Nick. Only you're much better looking than him. Yeah, the guy that floats. He does that thing where he floats right in front of you, or he pulls. That guy. And every talk show has their favorite psychic. Montel has that one woman, Sylvia, yeah. And trust me, there's going to be a lot more powerful ones coming. A lot more. If you don't think there is, why would a guy like John Edwards... Did you know what they were talking about with John Edwards? And they stopped him because the 911 tragedy was just too heartfelt. And it is. They were trying to get him to go to the ground zero and talk to the people that died when the towers fell. They wanted to have a big special and everything. They advertised, and then somebody stopped them, either the government or somebody. They stopped him from having that special over there. He would have had plenty of demons to chat with. Now, the last prophecy. Oh, yeah. This is the last prophecy. I'm sorry I went a little bit over. But Matthew 24, verse 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." Today's gospel is preached from the pulpits, of course. From the radio, from the TV, ham radio, CB, telephones, letters, videotapes, audio tapes, books, flyers, tracts, seminars. I repeat, seminars. I get this feeling for seminars. Tent revival, missionaries, street preachers, Christians telling their friends, pal talk, E4, Yahoo Messenger, whatever, email, websites, World Wide Web. I mean, even third world countries now have access to the World Wide Web. And if you want to see a third world country in the United States of America, I'll go to West Virginia, where they're living in cardboard boxes, and that's acceptable. Or living in the shanties and stuff, that's acceptable. They have access, because there's libraries, and they can go to the library free of charge, step in there a couple, 3 hours a day, just by using your library card, you got access to the internet. That's one of the reasons I believe that the Pope went and admitted on March 12th, because now people can access the internet and find out that church really did kill those Christians. So he had to admit it, because he knows that even people in Virginia now can get the information. It's out there. So, when you see the abomination of desolation surrounding the most holy place, those are in Judea to flee to the mountains, right? Jesus tells them in advance of a prophecy that's going to happen. He tells them to get out of there. They get out of there, they're spared. The people that aren't spared, of course, die. What are we doing? We got to get out of there. We got to do what's right. Now, I'm not saying get out and go live in the woods. I'm not saying that. We got to get out there and start, you know, sharing it with everybody as we possibly can. I mean, one final sobering thought. We were all created to live now. And, you know, because we serve a creator God. We serve a God that is mighty to the point where we could have been born 4,000 years ago. You know? Because he's, you know, created us. Sure, mom and dad had a little bit to do with it, but the thing is, if mom and, you know, you can't start, it was dust and the breath of life. We were created in today's world. We are literally created in today's world. Everyone in this church right now is young enough to see the end of time. We're all young enough right now to see the eastern sky split. Because with today's technology, some of us can live over 100 years old. And even if, but it's not going to take that long. What I'm saying is, you know, for the sake of Wayne, because I don't know, how old are you, Wayne? Just, you know. I'm not going to ask, you know. But, I know. I'm just, you know. I don't want to know. I'm just kidding. But, answer that. No. I'm kidding. But, all of us are young enough to see the end of the world. All of us. And we will see it in our lifetime. We know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 in regard to the, you know, when you see these signs happening. You'll know that the end is nigh. So, what are we doing for him? Because we are going to be used by the Almighty, whether we like it or not. We're either going to be used like he used the Pharaoh's men to die under the water. Because what do they say right before that water hit them? Let's get out of here. Their God fights for them. They glorify him. That's what they were created for. They're dead now. No more need. So what are we going to do? Now we know these prophecies. And we need to do as much as we possibly can. So I'm just hoping and praying that we realize what time it is. You know, because it's a lot closer than a lot of us thought. Fire your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with the scriptures. Thank you for blessing us with the truth. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days. We could have been born 4,000 years ago, Father, but no, you said you wanted us to be alive at the time you come back. We are here because you wanted us to be here now. What will you have us do, Father? Here we are, Lord. Send us. We echo the words of your prophets. We're not claiming to be prophets, Father, but we are echoing the words that your scripture says. We want to do what you would have us do. We want to help glorify you. Bless us with that ability to do so. Give us the understanding of the will for our life, your will for our life. In Jesus' name we pray.